Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. I'm ready to go.
Yes, we're ready to go. Rocking and rolling. Tonight is January 12th, 2023, Season 4, Episode 4, the topic, Republican House of Cards. It's about to fall. Let's keep it real, people. Republicans are out for revenge. This Republican House majority will be the worst in the history of the U.S. Congress. Expect investigations galore and vindictiveness by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. McCarthy is weak and pathetic. He has no real power as he has given it to the insurrectionist Republicans who instigated the treasonous January 6th coup attempt. The GOP never learns. As they go after women's reproductive rights, plan on cutting more taxes for the wealthy, uses immigrants as a scapegoat for America's problems, demonize LGBTQ community and their rights, give more legitimacy to white nationalism, promote debunked conspiracy theories, threatening Social Security and Medicare, and holding America hostage regarding the federal budget and spending on much more needed social programs. There is no bottom to the GOP cruelty. They gerrymander districts on all political levels, disregarding what the court ruled. They don't care about democracy and have an unhealthy fetish with autocracy. America is tired. America have caught up with the shenanigans and not very impressed. Will the chickens come home to roost by 2024? The Republican Party's House of Cards is exposed as the last of the Trumpism gasp for oxygen. QAnon and right-wing fringe, your days are numbered. Will America rise to the occasion and kill fascism once and for all? Or is America's best days behind her? Plus, tonight, files marked as classified were found in Biden's storage. What's the setup? They will use this as an excuse to try and impeach Joe Biden. What are your thoughts? Give us a call in tonight, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all your TVs and electronic devices as it is a distraction for myself and my co-host, Lori, and listeners who are, you know, listening what we're saying. Glad to subscribe, that you subscribe to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123 and sharing our humble show across all social media. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with David Franklin and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, this Republican House of Representatives, they're not for legislation, but, you know, is more of a tactic where they're going to go for revenge. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Am I hitting the nail on the head or am I far off base?
Oh, no. Absolutely hit the nail on the head. They have no intention whatsoever of getting anything done. The only thing that they plan on doing is to demolish, destroy, destruct, divert, and use all the tactics and all the rotten tools and all the crappy little laws that they can find to, you know, destroy, you know, what the Biden administration has accomplished and worked so hard to accomplish.
and they have no bottom. They're bottom feeders, but they have no bottom. So how this is going to end, I don't know. I'm tired of it, just like everyone else is tired of it. I'm tired of waiting for Jack Smith, you know, to indict President, the former Orange Monster, because there is enough evidence and there's enough, you know, to indict him. I mean, they're done with the Georgia investigation. They have his tax returns. They have video of everything, you know, what they were doing that day. There's a video of that tent. I don't know if you ever saw it, David. And they were all in the tent, and they were partying and playing music. And they had big screen TVs in there, and they were watching the insurrection unfold. And they thought it was just awesome. And to me, it is stomach turning. So I don't know how this is going to go. I really don't. President Biden looked very... He looked very somber today when they asked him about, you know, the classified documents. And my opinion on the classified documents is that it's so funny. Now they're saying that they found them in November. I don't know, you know. But why did they wait until after the Speaker of the House was, you know, elected? And right after that, you know, they all of a sudden found these documents. And, you know, the other thing is they found him in his garage. His garage, as as President Biden said, is locked. And then the one reporter said, oh, was it in your Corvette? He said, my Corvette is locked in my garage, and my garage is locked. I mean, how sickening and disrespectful these people are.
Oh, yeah, because I think that reporter was Peter Ducey. Yeah, Ducey, not Ducey. Well, he's a douche, but, you know, he's from Fox News. And, you know, Fox News is not really news, you know. And this 118th Congress is about retaliation and not meaningful legislation. And I can't wait for it to backfire. Reason being is because the difference between the Trump classifieds and the Biden classifieds is that as soon as they found the classifieds, they say, hey, here what? Somebody made a mistake here. You know, we shouldn't have these. So here, you know, here is the classified information back. But Trump feels that he's entitled to it. It doesn't belong to Donald Trump, but to the American people. It belongs to the archives of the United States. You know, so that's a major difference. And he refuses still to give up what other classified documents he has. And what classified documents does he have? We won't know because it's, you know, national secret. And if it goes into the wrong hands, a lot of people could be killed. It could be to the detriment of the United States and our national security, and you know. So I think it's going to backfire. And they're going to use this as an excuse, you know, to try and impeach Joe Biden. But before we speak more about Joe Biden, that guy George Santos in New York, he said if he gets 248,000 petitions signed, then he'll resign. Game on, bitch. Because we on the show are going to set up a petition, and probably other petitions will be out there for him to resign, and we're going to get those 248,000 petitions, and you're in big trouble with the law, because according to financial statements of any political campaign, especially on a federal level, if you lie on your financial dealings, then, you know, for each lie is 5 years. So where did he get that $700,000? You know, George Santos, and, you know, what are you hiding? Because one person came out today saying that they gave George Santos $25,000, and I don't know where that money went. They just gave it to a PAC or a super PAC, you know. So George Santos is a liar and a fraud. And trust me, the American people, especially in New York, is going to get you. You're going to be recalled. You're going to be prosecuted for what you did because, you know, it's just bad taste and disgusting what he did. And added to which, any politician who tried to, you know, do legislation with him should be blackballed as well, because he came into Congress and the U.S. House on a false pretense. Mm-hmm. And if anybody did what he did, they'd be fired on the spot. So that's a double standard right there. So, you know, we're coming after you, George Santos.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, David, is you're absolutely right. And I don't think his vote should count for the speaker. Mm-hmm. I do not think his vote should even count. So that's, you know, my opinion. And also, the Washington Post reported that George Santos received payments as recently as April of 2021 from financial services from a financial services company accused by the SEC of a classic Ponzi scheme. Santos did not divulge income from that company on disclosures required of federal candidates. So, yeah, he's definitely not above board at all. He is definitely, you know, he owed tons of money in rent. It was over $100,000 where his sister and him lived in an apartment in New York. And, you know, all by and behold, all of a sudden they have all this money. So, yes, he's a liar. He's a fraud. He's definitely a narcissist. And I would also go on to say that there's mentally wrong with him. He must be mentally ill to continue on, you know, with reporters on his tail constantly, and he just doesn't care. I'm not resigning. That's all he keeps saying. I am not resigning. And the other thing is McCarthy has not asked him to resign, which really irritates me. You know, he's kind of walking the fence and saying, well, let's see what happens. You know, come on. What kind of, what ethics, because
McCarthy has no power, and the power that he has is only superficial, because he gave that power away to get those votes to become Speaker of the House, you know, including George Santos's vote. You know, so he's in between a rock and a hard place. And remember, the Republicans have a razor-thin majority, 222 seats, the Democrats, 212 seats. So more than likely, if and when, not if, but when George Santos resigns, because we're going to get those 142,000 petitions signed, there's going to be a special election in District 3, New York. And more than likely, high and likely, that a Democrat will win. So that would give Democrats 213 seats, chipping away at Kevin McCarthy's majority. You know, so it's going to play out well for Democrats if and when, or when that special election is called. And, you know, the Republicans just don't have any shame. You know, it's frightening, you know, what these people have up their sleeves and everything. You know, they don't care for America, but they care for power. And, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely.
You know, and the thing is, you know, I mean, everyone likes a little power now and then. You know, everyone goes on their power trips. But the type of power that they want destroys lives. It can destroy a country. Mm-hmm. It's pulled apart by the threads, you know, and we can see it. People are sick and tired of it. They're upset with it. They see what's going on. And your hands are tied, because we're stuck with these imbeciles until 2024. And we have to put up with this garbage, this everyday garbage, these threats every single day, you know, presenting different bills of just pulling our democracy apart, you know. And for what reason? I mean, who are they helping? I mean, who's going to vote for them? I mean, 20 other MAGA Republicans, who's going to vote for them? I mean, that's what I don't understand. So let them destroy themselves. But I don't know how, you know, else we can stop them by just continually, you know, calling them out on the things that they're doing and saying how wrong it is and how un-American it is and how treacherous it is.
And this is why elections matter, because, you know, a lot of the attitude with a lot of people, especially Democratic voters, is just, oh, it's just a midterm election. It don't really matter. Well, it does matter because now we have a divided government. And before, Democrats had all three branches of government, but now the House is controlled by Republicans who are saying no. And they're going to continue to say no until they get 99.99% of what they want. And American people can't afford that because of debt ceiling vote coming up in March, for example. And, you know, they want to cut Social Security. They want to get rid of Social Security, period. They want to get rid of Medicare. They want to, you know, cut social programs, and they keep calling it entitlement. But it's not really entitlement because people pay into the system and they deserve, you know, some cushion when they retire at 65. They want to raise the retirement age to 70. That's preposterous. You know, they insist that, you know, they want a balanced budget, you know, when dealing with Democrats. And the thing is, where were they when George W. Bush and the Orange Vomit was putting money towards programs like wars and everything that gave those presidents a blank check? Why? Because they're Republicans. A Democrat come in after George W. Bush, you know, totally fucked up everything and Trump worse, and that to fix things. And no, Republican voters have the gall and audacity to blame Democrats. You know, I mean, people don't think or they don't care to think. They'd rather watch Fox News and listen to the garbage by right-wing media, you know. So unless people change, unless people pay attention and get, you know, information from different sources other than right-wing media, then, you know, a polite discussion and a meaningful discussion can happen between Americans who disagree politically, whether you're left, right, middle, socialist, wherever. And that's not going to happen with MAGA Republicans and QAnon Republicans because those people are disgustingly vile and vicious when you talk to them. And they have no clue as to how an economy run, nor do they have a clue on, you know, what it is to be diplomatic. So, you know, until that changes and that attitude and the mindset changes, then we can't have a discussion with these right-wing lunatics.
Well, the thing is, you know, you have people like Hawley and Jim Jordan, you know, they are just, they're lunatics. You know, they're like, they're, you know, when they talk, they don't talk, they scream. And their voices are vicious and loud and boisterous and rude. You know, it's that, like, they're there to fight. You know, they're not there to govern or try to make the country better or the world better or anything better. They're just there to just, you know, put their dicks in and just fight. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the GOP, you know, these Republicans have been after Garland for 2 years now, trying to get him to, you know, step down, you know, or to get him, you know, fired. And, you know, Hawley's one of them. And it's sickening to watch these people. Mm-hmm. They have no honor. They have no sort of, you know, they're uncouth. I don't even know how to explain how I feel about them. And yet, I mean, you know, Maryland, who has always, you know, worked and is loyal and honest and doing the best job he can do and under the extreme circumstances that he is under. He's under a lot of pressure right now. I wouldn't want to see him for anything. I really wouldn't.
Right.
You know?
I want to answer this question. How many times have Joe Biden's people refused to turn over classified documents when specifically requested to do so by the folks at the National Archives? The answer is zero. They discovered documents on their own and contacted the archives and turned over everything. Not at all like Trump and his people who, they're subpoenaed. The Trump people are subpoenaed and given a year to turn over those documents. And I still have it, you know? And by a court-ordered subpoena, went to Mar-a-Lago and got some of the classified documents and everything, some of them still missing, you know? Why isn't Trump in prison already? Why isn't the Orange Vomit in prison? You know, if any other person did it, You know, look on Reality Winner, who worked at the Pentagon for a couple of years. She took one piece of document and gave it to Julian Assange from WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And she got 7 years hard time, hard labor.
Yes.
Trump have
droves
of documents that's classified, you know, and refused to give them over. Why is he getting special treatment? Because he's a former president? That's double standard. That's disgusting. That's vile.
You know,
and this shows that, you know, he wants to be, like, above, you know, the law and everything. And he thinks that, you know, it is his to have, and it's not.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that today, and I'm going to be honest about this, when I read or heard that Merrick Garland had appointed a special counsel, you know, to investigate, you know, by documents, you know, I was upset. I was angry for a little while because I thought to myself, man, it took them, what, a few days to, you know, hire a special counsel? You know, to go after our great president. And here we are 2 years plus later, and we have zero, nothing. I mean, my blood pressure just went way up. And, you know, I know it's a double-edged sword for for Garland, because, you know, if he didn't assign a special counsel, then he'd be playing favorites. You know, you know what I'm saying? So he's kind of in a rock and a hard place. He really is. And he's walking a fine line. But the thing that bothers me is that the special counsel who that he, you know, has now, I'm going to tell you a little bit. I will tell him a little bit about it, about who he is. So it's the Justice Department probe into classified documents found at President Joe Biden's home, and former private office will be overseen by Robert Hur, a former U.S. attorney in Maryland who has a long and distinguished career as a prosecutor. Attorney General Merrick Garland announced Thursday. Hur was nominated to be U.S. attorney in Maryland by the then-President Donald Trump in 2017. He served the role under his resignation until 2021. In the job, Hur played a key role in a number of high-profile cases, including a children's book scandal involving then-Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, that resulted in Pugh being sentenced to 3 years in prison. He has most recently been working in private practice in Washington, D.C. Rob has been around long enough. He knows what he's getting into, the former Trump Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, for whom Hur served for a time as senior advisor, you know, told CNN on Thursday. So He even went as far as to appoint someone that was on the Trump team, so to speak. You know what I'm trying? You see what I'm trying to get at? Am I just grasping at straws?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, you're quite right, you know. This is so exhausting, trying to keep up with these Republicans. I know they have a tinfoil hat committee that will investigate the investigators who are investigating them. You know, one congressman, his telephone was seized, his cell phone was seized through a court order, and he wants to be on that tinfoil hat committee, for example. So he's going to investigate investigators who are investigating him, because he was in contact with Matt Meadows, the former chief of staff at the White House. And he was in contact with Donald Trump and whomever else. You know, so isn't that a conflict of interest right there? Added to which, Gina Thomas, the wife of Clarence Thomas, it is discovered and revealed publicly that Clarence Thomas, the judge on the Supreme Court, knew what was going on, you know, and yet still he voted on, You know, he should recuse himself from this case because of a clear conflict of interest right there. You know,
yep,
so
I agree.
It's like they don't have
and,
respect
you know,
for law.
You,
they have no values.
You know, now that you bring up Mark Meadows, and I just spoke a few minutes ago about that on the day of the insurrection when Trump and Don Jr. and Mark Meadows and Don Jr.'s girlfriend and Ivanka were all in the tent, plus a bunch of others. Mark Meadows was
mm-hmm.
in that tent as well, watching the insurrection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's 16.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. All they care about is power, and they don't really care about the Constitution, nor do they respect
mm-hmm.
the rule of law.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's frightening, you know,
absolutely.
That they have this this fascination with autocracy. You know, they have this
yep.
fetish for autocracy, and autocracy
yep.
cannot survive in the United States. The trend back in the 1930s, you know, thank goodness for Smedley Butler, the general in the army, who thwarted them back then to try to overthrow FDR in a coup attempt,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't public till, you know, the archives came out what was happening. You know, Harriman Brothers and Prescott
mm-hmm.
Bush, U.S. Senator from Connecticut. And that's why Prescott Bush was censored by the U.S. Senate. You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, Republicans have a history of, you know, loving autocracy, you know, not respecting the rule of law. And, you know, they think they're above the law. Look at Richard Nixon, for example. So we'll have our first call. We'll let this caller in. Remember to say first name, where you're calling from. This is Kitchen Politics 123. The date is January 12th, 2023. The topic is Season 4, Episode 4, Republicans' House of Cards. They're going to come crashing down eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123.
It's Bianca.
What's
David,
cooking?
How you doing? I was just listening to you.
Yes, man, I'm good. How are you?
I just got through arguing with my daughter, not arguing, but telling her that she's not going to Jamaica, especially Montego Bay. The crime down there is worse than Chicago. And I don't know why come the people don't do something about that. But, you know, here's
mm-hmm.
the thing. You talk about Garland. The FBI mm-hmm. had this information about Joe Biden back in September before the midterm
mm-hmm.
elections. Joe Biden
mm-hmm.
has no business. No
November.
Business.
Mm-hmm. November.
Joe Biden has no business whatsoever with unclassified
mm-hmm.
documents. That's for the president
mm-hmm.
who can declassify whenever he or she gets ready. Just like when the archives
mm-hmm.
came by Trump's place there in Mar-a-Lago, they suggested that he
mm-hmm.
put an additional lock on the door, which he did. But what in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden had, you had classified documents in at least three different locations, one which Hunter Biden resided in. What is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
And with his
mm-hmm.
influence
no, but
and his connections with
okay.
China and the Ukraine, come on now, we know
mm-hmm.
what's going on with that. But,
no, no, but
it's all going to come out.
No, no, we're doing...
It will come out. And we're going to roast some people. Some people are going to jail, if not to the gallows. And I myself would prefer the gallows. I got to get going and make sure my daughter doesn't go down to Jamaica.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'll talk to you later.
No. Before you go, you know, how come all of a sudden the fine classified documents with Joe Biden, what's been going on with former President Trump? Isn't it coincidental? And aren't there video cameras to show?
Trump was a president. President has a right to declassify. Joe Biden was vice president. He had no right to do that.
There's a procedure,
I mean, that's case.
There's a procedure to declassify. A president can't just get up and say, oh, yes,
a president, a president can declassify.
No. He can't.
No way.
Well, then let me ask this lady here. And see, ma'am, I don't curse you, but you keep cursing me, I'm going to curse you back.
I have not cursed you. But the things
I didn't call you crazy, what you sound like.
The things that you say, you know what, you probably argue.
Well,
I
tell you what, don't say nothing to me.
I can
tell you, know, you liberal whites think you can make blacks do it. This is one black man you can't make do nothing. So now just don't say anything to me.
I can
go through David. Now, what was your question, David?
No, but it's her show as well, Pianke. You know, you can't
well, why don't
you
act civilized like you?
Okay,
because
but
you're not
civil. Okay.
You're not nice to me. You just call me a liberal white. What did you just call me?
I said you liberal white
you
folks have had your way
white.
Trying to persuade
you
blacks to go in a different march. Malcolm X
you
talked about it.
Do not talk to
but
me.
But go ahead, David. What's your question?
I'm just making a point, Pianke, that, you know, the president
you know
of the United States is a prophet.
These are the same people that caused Buju Bannon to be in the problem that he was in. You can't sing about boom, bang, bang. These are the same people, and you got them on your – I mean, you airing a show with them. You know what boom, bang, bang was about, right?
Yeah, yeah, killing gear.
All right, well, that's enough. And I hope he's doing well. But look, man, I gotta get off here. I ain't got time to be arguing.
Yeah.
Unless you got a question.
I forgot to Jamaica. Jamaica is a beautiful place. All right, thank you.
Yeah, not with that crime. Thank you.
Well, crime is everywhere. You know, that's Pianke. He was calling from Louisiana. Oh. I'm so sorry. You know, Lord. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so sorry. You know, there's no reason for him to be disrespectful. It's your show as well, you know.
I just don't want him.
Okay.
I don't want him anymore. I'm done with him. He is, you know, he's name-calling all the time. There's no excuse for it. I know I get loud, and I have to stop that. But to call me a liberal white, that's bullshit.
Yes, and a lot of liberal whites listen to the show and share the show and call in. You know, I don't know what to say. But
now
back on track, no.
Liberal white or liberal black, what does it matter? I mean, seriously, if you're going to talk that way, what does the color of my skin have to do with being a liberal? Not a damn thing.
Well, because some the Republicans and the conservatives have branded the word liberal as something dirty, you know, and retarded and libtards and what have you. And the thing about it, if it wasn't for liberals, white liberals, FDR, and, you know, President after him, Harry Truman, wouldn't have these social programs. If it wasn't for the Great Society programs, or LBJ, wouldn't have the freedoms we have now, like voter rights and, you know, what have you. You know, so liberal, I embrace the word liberal and the mantra liberal because liberal changed America and saved America.
I will die a liberal, a progressive liberal. But, you know, to use it as, you know, to put you down or however he was, you know. No, he is a rude, condescending person. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and my wife besides McCall saying misogynistic person.
Yeah, he's disgusting.
Well, he's an asshole too, but he won't put that on the air.
Yeah, misogynistic asshole. Yeah, her words, not mine. Okay, so, yeah, where were we? I lost track.
Okay,
we're talking about
to,
the cruising.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you had said before that the new, you know, House Republicans are, you know, starting to introduce all these bills and, you know, things that they want to do, you know, their programs, et cetera. And one of them is going to be Social Security and Medicare cuts. I don't think all the Republicans are on board with it. I do not. But I'm just going to read a little bit, and I'm just still upset about, not upset, just sick of it. One of the House Republicans, you know, they're saying that they call Social Security an entitlement, and it is not an entitlement. I don't know why they want to use the word entitlement. Well, I do know why they want to use it, because they want to make people think that, you know, when you're collecting Social Security, you're getting something for nothing, which is not true. And, you know, people work and pay into Social Security, and they have no business even going near it or touching it, borrowing from it, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're divided over cuts to medical security, setting up to what could be a fierce internal clash over the future of the nation's top safety net program when Congress delves into budget fights later in the year. Entitlements have been a long political third rail, but some in the GOP say everything is on the table and are eager to use upcoming debt ceiling negotiations to extract promises to reduce government spending, including entitlement funding. That could pit the GOP's staunchest deficit hawks against other conservatives who insist Medicare and Social Security be left alone and the cuts will come from elsewhere. With a narrow GOP majority, Speaker Kevin McCarthy can lose only 4 votes on any bill and will have to find a way to placate the lawmakers calling for hard cuts. Now, Chip Roy, you know who Chip Roy is, right, from Texas?
Yeah, from Texas.
He is one of the conservative leaders who extracted a promise from McCarthy to limit new discretionary spending, insisted entitlements are safe. It took approximately 2 seconds for everybody to be saying, you're going to slaughter defense. You're going to hurt Social Security and Medicare. Everybody calm down, Roy said in an interview with conservative host Jeff Kelly. I'm not sure who that is. What we have been very clear about, we're not going to touch the benefits that are going to the people relying on the benefits under Social Security and Medicare, he said Sunday on CNN State of the Union. The official rules package we passed earlier this week calls for equal or greater cuts in mandatory spending to offset any new spending, but it did not specify where the cuts needed to come. So they're just talking in circles. That's all they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking in because they're infighting as well. They're all pinned.
Yeah, like I say, it's about power, you know, and there's QAnon Republicans. There are, Trump Republicans or the MAGA Republicans. Mm-hmm. You have the neocons. You have different branches and factions within the Republican Party and all of them jockeying for position, really. And instead of jockeying for position, you know, what they should be doing is legislating to get America moving forward. You know, what they're doing is going after women's health care even more. You know, what a woman does in her body is her choice between she and her doctor and whichever diet she believes in. You know, and what's more big government than, you know, like following a woman's cycle, you know, menstrual cycle, where some jobs want you to report, you know, what your menstrual cycle is. You know, that's so creepy and disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, that's loathsome. You know, that's, well, it's nobody's business.
No.
Go ahead.
Say, you know, in Missouri, I don't know if you heard this, but Republicans are pushing to ban women lawmakers from wearing attire that exposes their arms. This after they already passed a new rule requiring women lawmakers to cover their dress with a second layer. This is in Missouri. What does that sound like to you?
The Taliban, actually.
Yeah.
It sounds like the Taliban, the evangelical Taliban, as I call them, America's version of the Taliban in Afghanistan, trying to legislate what women wear and what women do.
Yeah. This is Missouri Republicans. This is in our freaking country. They're trying to tell women that they have to wear long sleeves and then a second something over their dress, you know?
Right.
When, you know, these are lawmakers just like these freaking shit men are. Who are these people?
Most of them are lawyers. So, you know, they write the laws in such a way that most of them are lawyers, these politicians, and so they write the laws in a way that, you know, it work out for them, and it basically piss on the rights of women, you know, is that they want to rule over women and everything, tell them what to wear.
I mean, what they said, you know, what they said, David, was very blatant. I mean, long sleeves, and then if you're wearing a dress, you put something over your dress.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty plain. Plain and black and white there, Missouri.
Yes, man. Oh, before we go on, breaking news, Lisa Marie Presley, the daughter of Elvis Presley, died today from suicide. So our hearts go out to the fans and to our family and friends.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. Yes, remember a couple of years back, her son committed suicide. So I guess, you know, Lisa Marie Presley. You know, she was born in 1968, died today, at, you know, 2023, you know, so at 54 years old, that's still too young. And our hearts go out to our friends and family and fans. I guess she said it in interviews as well, that she not really get over the death of her son, who, you know, she was very close to.
Yeah.
And the boy looked just like Elvis, her father. So, you know, her father. Yeah, looked like her father, Elvis. Looked like his grandfather. You know, so, you know, because he did a lot of drugs and everything. And I guess, you know, that lead from one thing to another. So, you know, our hearts go out to him. And a special shout-out to Mrs. Texas Paul. It's her birthday. Was it yesterday? Yes, it was yesterday, I think it was. So Mrs. Texas Paul... the wife of Texas Paul, who is on social media and very popular. Happy birthday to you. I hope you celebrate many more, and we'll love you on the show. You should call in one night, you know. We'd love to hear from you and Texas Paul and the current situation going on with the Republican-led House. Okay, so the number to call is 515-605-9802. We're going to say your first name and where you're calling from. And please don't have any television or electronics on because of feedback. It's very distracting for me and Lori and the people listening and everything. And it's jarring. So, you know, be considerate and turn the TV off or mute it or something. On to the next thing, though. What we talk about next? The next thing on the agenda is Merrick Garland's special counsel is zeroing in on Trump's inner circle. So Jack Smith is reportedly intensifying his criminal probes of the ex-president. When we last checked in with Jack Smith, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to oversee a pair of criminal investigations into Donald Trump, the former war crimes prosecutor had reportedly convinced the January 6th committee to begin extensively cooperating with this probe and start handling over 18 months of documents and transcripts surrounding the ex-president's attempt to overturn the 2020 elections. That development was undoubtedly left half a dozen bottles of ketchup steak across Mar-a-Lago dining room walls. So what Smith is up to now? According to recent reports, zeroing in on the ex-president's inner circle, read the election and insurrection business and intensifying his inquiry into Trump's mishandling of top-secret government documents. CNN reports that special counsel's team subpoenaed Rudy Giuliani more than a month ago, ordering him to turn over documents concerning payments he received during the 2020 elections when he was filing numerous lawsuits on the then-president's behalf, arguing a federal case in Pennsylvania where Trump was trying to have the election results thrown out and holding a series of batshit crazy press conferences. CNN notes, following Trump's November 2020 loss to Joe Biden, Trump and a Republican National Committee, quote, raked in millions of dollars as they told supporters the election was being stolen, marketing the fundraising efforts as election defense. Even though the January 6th panel found, quote, some officials working on the fundraising effort knew that Joe Biden's electoral win was legitimate, despite Trump's insistence it was fraudulent, end quote. So the outlet notes that according to people familiar with the matter, other witnesses who are close to Trump have been subpoenaed for information related to the disbursement of the Save America PAC, Trump's primary fundraising operation set up shortly after the 2020 election. So the Save America was part of the broader fundraising effort that raised more than $250 million for Donald Trump following the election. You know, according to CNN again, Giuliani does not appear to have personally received money directly from the PAC, but crucially, his company, Giuliani Partners, was paid $63,400 in December 2020 for travel reimbursement and $76,500 in February 2021, also for travel from Trump's Make America Great Again PAC. Following the money, of course, is time-honored concept first given the name around the time of Watergate, when the actions of another historically corrupt president needed probing. So what do you think about this, Lori? So they knew fully well that the election wasn't stolen or wasn't rigged, but yet still the raised, you know, millions of dollars. You know, what's your take on this? Hello, Lori, are you there? I don't know where Laura is. Hello, can anybody hear me? Hello, Lori. Okay, so let me continue reading that. And it's a Vanity Fair article. In a statement,
yeah,
an advisor. Yeah, I don't know. What happened to you? Just chipped out.
I just all of a sudden just, I don't know, something.
Okay.
Technical.
Yes, but. Yeah, so let me continue with this Vanity Fair article. In a statement, an advisor for Rudy Giuliani seemed to suggest that he was unaware of his clients receiving a subpoena, which is a goddamn lie. Come on now, Giuliani. And had only heard as much from CNN's reporting, telling the outlet, quote, the mayor is unaware of the specific claims by the so-called anonymous source, and therefore is not in a position to respond. Of course, Trump's attempts to overturn the election is not only a matter of keeping the special counsel's team busy. It's also looking for Trump's decision to take highly classified documents with him to Mar-a-Lago when he left the White House and refused on numerous occasions to give them back. That recently resulted in a sweep uncovering yet more classified information from the ex-president, and Smith wants answers about the people who did that sweeping. No. Okay, so what's your take on this, Lori?
My take on this is that Jack Smith is going to bring down the hammer slowly but surely. He's meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
He's zeroed in, and I think he's going to do the job. I truly do.
Mm-hmm.
Will he do the job? No. I mean, everything is there. You know, all the pieces are, you know, to the puzzle. I guess you just have to put everything together. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's been 2 years now since the probing Trump and all the illicit activities he and his assorted cast of characters have done, like Giuliani and whomever else.
Mm-hmm.
The list is too numerous. The names on the list is too numerous to go through here. You know, even Congress people, sitting Congress people and U.S. senators, you know, enabled this insurrection. And when they were subpoenaed by Attorney General Garland, they refused a subpoena. No regular person, Joe Blow, or a Mary Jane, if they're subpoenaed by Congress, they have to show up. And if they don't show up, they get thrown in prison. Now, why is it different for Mary Jo and Joe Blow, you know, but, you know, an elected official can just, like, choose to ignore a subpoena without any consequences? You know, how does that work out? You know? As you rightly said, Jack Smith will get to the bottom of it, and hopefully it will take another 2 years before Trump and his assorted cast of characters, his jokers, go to prison for what it did, because Richard Nixon was not above the law, and he should have been impeached, and Richard Nixon should have gone to prison for what he did and enabled with Watergate scandal. You know, at least Nixon had the good sense to quit and resign. But Trump would rather stand there and get impeached twice. And, you know, by only the grace of God that they had a Republican majority then in the Senate, because he'd have been a goner. You know, Donald Trump is such a loser.
Yeah.
You know, just this sickening and disheartening.
Yeah, very much so. The time has come. I mean, I'm running out of patience. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only one, you know, running out of patience. Mm-hmm. And, I'm tired of every day, you know, seeing this, you know, all this negativity all the time. You know, and then you have someone calling into the show saying that it totally ignoring what Trump did, like it was okay for him to put a lock on his door at Mar-a-Lago. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did actually. Okay? Yes, yes.
How is that okay? How is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, how is that okay?
Yeah, he's a real president, according to him. Yeah, he's a real president, according to him. So.
I mean, it just it makes, and when I think about it, it's like makes my, this is what we, okay, this is how I'm going to sum it up. This is what we are fighting against. It's people like him that refuse to maybe think that, you know what, maybe the insurrection was really, really did happen. Maybe the insurrection, you know, was maybe a coup. Maybe the insurrection, you know, people did die at the insurrection, you know, or, you know, maybe Trump really did evade his taxes. Maybe he didn't lie on his, I mean, but no. Why? Why is it that they cannot turn their head and just see a little bit in a mirror, just a little bit, to try to envision maybe something is really true? Why do we sit here and lie every week? We don't. We do not lie every week. And the Democrats are not perfect. We know that. We know Democrats are not perfect. But at least they have, at least they have, you know, the country's heart in their souls, a little bit, you know, what they need. They try to put the needs of the country, of the American people, you know, into their legislation. But these Republicans, and then they're brainwashed people, like he is brainwashed to the point where he's nuts. He needs to be committed somewhere. You know?
Yes, yes. And, you know, this brainwashing thing and this hero worshiping and idolizing, you know, when you go back and take a look at Hitler and Mussolini, you know?
Yes.
You know, they had this charisma that drew people in, you know? And no matter how evil, you know, those people were, that had followers and everything, and you just, you know, you think, wow, is this human nature so evil that for somebody like Hitler and Mussolini who killed Jews and those who are not like them? So hopefully there will come a stage in America where, you know, just because you don't look like me or you don't believe in the things I believe in, then you should die. You know, hopefully it will come to that, you know. You know, because of religion and partisan political differences, you hate somebody because of what they believe in or who they believe in. You know, we're better than that. We're bigger than that, America.
And, you know, the other thing that you said, one last I just wanted to say, you know, the other thing that he started to say, you know, it was like he's a Trump worshiper. He could do no wrong, you know, and he probably still thinks he's president, you know. I mean,
it's just mind baffling, really. We're going to get Susie on the line soon. She's been hauling for a while. But before that, I want to play Kingmaker, the latest ad from the Lincoln Project. And it shows how Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Freedom Caucus people, you know, got McCarthy in and are playing Kingmaker, basically. What their agenda is not necessarily what is good for America, but good for corporations. It's a 1 minute, 30-second ad. Here it is.
To get the handful of rebels to just vote present, you see right there, if you look close at that phone, it says DT at the top. That would be Donald Trump. You try to hand the phone there to Matt Rosendale, one of the holdouts from Montana. He didn't want to take the call because he didn't want the pressure from Donald Trump.
Soon down to crunch time, you know, you had 20 people that were pretty hard line, and they happened to be very good friends of mine, almost all of them. I would say all of them.
He had talked to them, multiple of the 20, during the course of the week, urging them to vote for Kevin McCarthy for Speaker?
He really was. I was just talking to him tonight, hoping to get those final votes. And what happened is I started calling them, and I started getting people to agree with me and coming on board.
I was holding out my phone saying, it's President Trump. He wants to speak with you.
But I do want to especially thank President Trump. I don't think anybody should doubt his influence.
I mean, it was just about over where they were going to leave. And I think that if they left, think of it, if they left and you had 2.5, 3 days in between, I don't know that anything would have ever, you might have ended up with a Democrat, to be honest with you. I don't know that this thing ever would have gotten done.
We had to do so much work to do, and he was a great influence to make that all happen. So thank you, President Trump.
So I guess Donald Trump is still a kingmaker, even though none of his candidates won in a 2022 midterm election. Yeah, that's very pathetic. And he may run as a third-party candidate if he's not the Republican nominee. Susie from Michigan, what's cooking tonight?
Oh, this is depressing talk. Really, it is. It's just unreal. He's a kingmaker, but he'll turn around and stab you in the back for no reason. I mean, how can you even trust that guy? I don't know how they can. He lies like a rug. He has no redeeming qualities. He's crooked as they come. I don't get it. Why are these people loyal to him? The only thing I can think of is he's the figurehead, the clown head, and it's them against us. And like you said, Mussolini and Hitler, it's them against us. And they're so afraid of other races and other opinions being against them that it's a war all the time. So you pick a side, and he's on one side, but he's not worth a shit. They have no redeeming qualities. They have no programs for the United States. They want to, you know, like you said, get rid of Social Security and the Medicare that we pay into, when they should have everybody pay in, no matter how much money you make, even, you know, make billions. You should pay a percentage every damn paycheck. So it can save Social Security, because they cut it off, what, 250 or 400 or something? If you make more than that, you don't have to pay in. But you still collect. Mm-hmm. Don't tell me they don't collect at the end when they retire.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and the thing about Susie, the thing is that the claim that Social Security is going to be insolvent by 2030. But the thing is, that's a lie. You know, they keep taking the money to sponsor these illegitimate wars, you know, and going around the world trying to play a world police and everything. And Social Security is not going broke. If anything, they keep taking away from the people who rightly deserve Social Security when they retire, you know, and they want to raise the age for retirement from 65 to 70. I mean, God.
There's one, you know, thing happening is that us older folks, there's more of us, the baby boomers, than there are young people working. And the young people are working are making less money. So they're paying in less. So there's fewer people paying in, and they're paying in less because they let the rich ones off the hook. If everybody would pay in equally, no matter how much you make, quit doing the ceiling on it, it would pay for everything. That's an easy fix.
Exactly.
And it would be like, you know, a little irritant for them to pay. They wouldn't even notice it, you know? But you can't help the rich. I mean, you can't get them pissed off, because they're the ones that are buying off Congress. Don't get me on that one. The election laws that they'll never change because it's Fox watching the chicken coop, right? They took away, the Supreme Court took away limits on corporate donations to campaigns. And from going from hundreds of thousands of dollars to get elected, now it's millions and millions, which is ridiculous. For what? They're all bought.
You know, a perfect example of that. A perfect example of that is like a local election where you're running for, say, city or county commissioner. And usually, you know, an election in that is like 200,000, 300,000. But now in this election, this past election cycle, to run for any of those seats is like $1 million and up. Now, why would a campaign for city commissioner or county commissioner cost $1 million or more? You know, it's not on federal level. It's just locally, statewide. You know, and the money, because the Citizens United come from dark donations, super PACs. And you don't know that they're not entitled to report where these super PAC monies come from. So China could, you know, dump loads of money in their candidate.
They're
you know, usually a Republican.
But they don't.
Well, no.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, dark money, dark super PAC money by law is not required to say, hey, you know, this is from this person, that person, or this corporation. You know, so that's what the law says, you know. I looked it up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, unless they change things like that. You know, it's like more dark money will come in and more outside influence outside the United States will come in. You know, because Russia have a big stake in this because they want to bring us down. Since Eisenhower days, when Adlai Stevens, a Democrat, ran against him twice, and those two guys hated each other, Adlai Stevens and Ike. But when they approached Adlai Stevenson, Stalin was in there in power back then, and he said, hey, if we give you X amount of money, then you could do our bidding and, you know, tell us some secrets and what have you. And Adlai Stevenson, who was a patriot, you know, said, I hate this man Eisenhower, he hates me, but out of duty, sense of duty to my country and patriotism, let me go to the President of the United States and tell him what happened, what transpired. You know, and those people, you know, in terms of Eisenhower and Adlai Stevenson, were true American patriots because they came together at a time when the Cold War was up and brewing, and I said, here what, this is what the Soviet Union is trying to do. And Putin now is trying to do the same thing. And with the Citizens United, you know, getting away with murder, basically, and the conservative-leaning Supreme Court did what they did, then people like Putin and Russia and North Korea and, God forbid, China, doing the same thing that Stalin tried to do years ago. You know, so it's just disheartening. How can we change that? How can we change that is hope. The Democrats and Biden agree to expand the Supreme Court from 9 judges to 15 judges. That's the only way things can change, you know, because, you know, the three appointees that Trump made, they all lied when they're asked, you know, would you change Roe versus Wade? And they looked directly in the camera and said, no. You know, so that right there is a lie.
I know, and they were all nominated by the Federalist Society, which are strictly far, far right. Legal guys, you know, lawyers and everything. And they're the ones that put their name forward and put the pressure to, what's his face, the head of the Congress, to push him forward, you know, and no questions asked.
McConnell. And you know, it's a travesty of justice that Barack Obama didn't. It's a travesty of justice that Barack Obama, a great president of the United States, never got a chance to nominate someone. He nominated Garland, but because of Republican obstructionism and Mitch McConnell again, it didn't go through. But yet still, a traitor, a treasonous rat bastard like Orange Vomit got 3 picks. You know, this is why we can have nice things in America, because when crap like that happen, then, you know, the American people just have to sit and take it. You know, and it's just not right. You know, it's not right.
No, it isn't.
It's disheartening. You know,
and the Supreme Court is making things worse all the time, you know, with Roe versus Wade. I mean, all kinds of things that they're you know, the campaign laws and, you know, all that stuff. They're changing everything to favor the far right, and it is so damn wrong. They're supposed to be neutral. They're supposed to go according to the law and the Constitution, and they're finding all the cracks and crevices to sneak through.
You know, Chris, you were just talking a little bit about McConnell, and you know, I think he's gonna have a difficult 2023.
you know, because Trump and the GOP are putting a lot of pressure on him. And there's, you know, I always called him Turtle Face. I dislike him a lot. I mean, I dislike him very much. And, you know, and now all of a sudden he is kind of like the adult in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to be logical, and, you know, it's almost scary. And I just, you know, he doesn't want to shut down the government, you know, those kinds of things. And so they're going to make him public enemy number one. And this article says, or at least high on the list, so former President Trump, who holds enormous sway over McCarthy in the House GOP, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky speaks mm-hmm. under the Clay Bridge Wednesday, January 4th in Kentucky. Trump's delight in taking aim at McConnell and at stirring up trouble for the veteran Senate GOP dealmaker, who also must deal with ambitious conservatives in his own caucus who sometimes posture against him. Just this week, the former president had criticized McConnell's handling of last year's ominous spending bill, which has been criticized by House conservatives who held up McCarthy's speakership until he finally won last week in the 15th ballot. So, you know, mm-hmm. so they're infighting, you know, and just like you said before, David, it is all got to do with power. Absolutely has mm-hmm. to do with power.
Oh, for sure. And power and money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because they don't want to lose their positions because they're being paid yeah. off by big corporations. So all of a sudden, all millionaires, they will not
yeah.
pass the laws for transparency on investments for them and their family. And they
no.
break it.
Mm-hmm.
All of them break the law all the time. And
yeah.
they
mm-hmm.
have nobody
mm-hmm.
to oversee them because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
for
sure.
The DOJ's got to do it, or who? Who's going to say, no, you have to show where your money is invested, who's paying you off? They won't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're screwed.
Yeah. I wouldn't say we're screwed, but, you know, we have
to. Well, pharma,
you know,
big pharma. I mean, everybody's
yeah.
screwed in that
mm-hmm.
one. They want
yeah.
to raise
mm-hmm.
they're raising the price of the COVID vaccination now. Not because they're not making
mm-hmm.
money on it, because it costs them, what, $14? They're raising the shot to $140.
I
now,
know, so
if
they
people
can get
don't
more
have
money.
Insurance,
yeah,
so
mm-hmm.
are they going to afford this?
I know. It's sad.
And it's both it's life and death. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like the EpiPen guy, remember?
EpiPen cost
$2.50 to make, and he
yeah.
charged $500.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't last.
The price gouging.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
worse than price gouging. It's downright stealing and illegal and immoral.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
mm-hmm.
it is.
Well, let me just say that, you know, we should be happy that when the Democrats were in power, we didn't get price gouging like this. You know, the COVID vaccine was for free, and they tried
yep.
to educate out there to say, hey, this is how the vaccine will help and get vaccinated
mm-hmm.
and what have you. At least Joe Biden and Democrats try to, you know, put positive things out there and encourage people to get vaccinated and the booster shot and everything. But unlike
mm-hmm.
Orange Vomit, who said, oh, no, just inject yourself with whatever, or take this horse
mm-hmm.
medicine, whatever you call that horse medicine, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
oh,
all
God,
sorts
yeah.
of garbage and nonsensical bullshit. And it was having people, you know, kill themselves because they listened to this orange clown, this Orange Vomit. You know, and there's no repercussions of what he said. And no, speaking of investigating, one of the big things they wanted to investigate Fauci, you know, and with this tinfoil hat committee that is set up and everything. And guess who's on the tinfoil hat committee? The congressman from District 3, George Santos. How ironic is that? Were they trying to look funny with appointing him? are not committing, or are they trying to be spiteful, or just don't care, you know? Maybe I'm mixture of three. Who knows? But God, and let's be honest here. George Santos has no business being in Congress because he lied to his constituents. The entire Republican Party in New York, you know, is demanding that he resign. So we're going to get these petitions signed. We're going to start this petition after the show tonight because George Santos has to go. The other thing is that, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was sworn into office as Arkansas governor, and her first executive order was Tuesday, and she banned the term Latin X from official use in state government. I guess, you know, using the term Latin X is considered as, you know, being part of the woke culture and everything. You know, what is your take on it, Lori and Susie, about, you know, Huckabee Sanders?
Well, first of all, we remember her, right? Press secretary.
Looney Tunes, you know,
For Orange Vomit. Everything that came out of her mouth was, you know, garbage and not true. Mostly everything. And I had never heard of the term Latinx until today. L-A-T-I-N-X.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. So
instead of
saying
Latino or Latina, just say Latinx, just, you know.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't specify.
Yeah.
You don't specify.
Yeah.
So, you know, her and Republicans think is like a woke culture thing.
Yeah.
So they want to ban it in government from you being
Well,
used.
Her daddy's
on
Newsmax. What do you expect?
He's
a loony
but
too.
Go ahead, Yeah, but make your point, Lori. You're saying.
Well, I was just going to say, I never heard that until today. And what it is, it's a gender neutral alternative to Hispanic or Latino, and that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying Hispanic or Latino, they're just saying Latinx. What is wrong with that? You know, I mean, it truly isn't. So there is a book. It's called Latinx, the New Force in American Politics and Culture. And the governor's seemingly sudden interest to ban the term Latinx, which is often derided by conservatives and debated among some Latinos, speaks to the anti-woke agenda the Republican Party has increasingly adopted. Doesn't she have anything better to do? That was the first thing that she did. Is she going after the? Is she,
what state is she from?
She is from Arkansas.
And that's all they have to do, right?
Another red state. Another red state, like Missouri. Same thing, you know, trying to ban, you know, the women that work in, you know, in the in government, you know, to have to wear long sleeves and.
Because they can't control the sexual urges. They want women to wear long sleeves and what have you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not on her, you know, how you think or how you socialize, you know. If she wants to wear a short miniskirt, not showing her, you know, woo-ha, you know, or if she wants to wear anything she desires.
There's no dress
you know,
code
on that
in
day.
Congress.
You know,
yeah,
I mean, who are you to sexualize this person? You know?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, David, is that when you do watch, you know, these women that come on the floor and they, you know, they're always dressed nicely. They always have suits on. They always have a nice dress on. And they have heels on. Some don't wear heels. Some wear slacks. This is a bunch of bullshit. It's just another waste of time and money in our country. So Missouri, Arkansas, you know, these states, they're just a waste of energy for people.
And, you know, speaking of waste of time, one of the very first things MacArthur did was remove the metal detectors before going into the chamber, the House chamber, you know, and all those little menial things. I mean, like you said, don't they have other better things to do? Like, I don't know, protect Social Security, for example, you know, just throwing something out there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, these people are lost, you know, and Reagan probably turning in his grave now, you know? Yeah, and the canceling the whole ethics committee. What do you think about them canceling the ethics committee? Because a lot of them, you know, have ethical problems, and they cancel the ethics committee.
Well, of course. You know, they're going to investigate the investigators. That's what they want to do.
Like it's that guy you said that they're investigating him, and he wants to be on the committee, so he investigate. Could supervise his own investigation. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's such a conflict of interest. It's so damn ridiculous. These family values, conservative Republicans, these evangelical Taliban.
They have no family values.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
they have no values.
Yeah. So Nebraska Governor Pillen appointed former Governor Pete Ricketts as Ben Sasse's Senate replacement. Ben Sasse, as you know, he is leaving, or he resigned last week as U.S. Senator from Nebraska to take up being president of Florida International University, I believe. Some universities down in Florida. And Sasse, who's a Republican, officially resigned from the Senate, I think it was this week or last week, to become president of the University of Florida. Yeah, there you go. So Governor Pillen announced Thursday, today, that former Governor Pete Ricketts, a next Trump bastard, will fill the Senate seat vacated by Ben Sasse, who officially resigned from Congress. Yep. To take up that presidency in the University of Florida. Ricketts, like Pillen and Sasse, will serve 2 years ahead of the 2024 special Senate election. 2 years. You know, Sasse, a vocal critic of President Donald Trump and his supporters, officially resigned from the Senate this past Sunday. He submitted his resignation last month, saying that he would leave office January 8th, 2 years into his second term. Pillen, Governor Pillen, said Thursday that the process to fill Sasse's seat was taken incredibly serious because appointee needs to be to represent the people of Nebraska. So the appointee is a former governor. And according to the current Governor Pillen, the appointee must reflect values and ideological importance, ideology important to Nebraskans, less government and fiscal accountability, person of incredible faith, God-fearing like almost all Nebraskans. See, that bullshit again, God-fearing, person of incredible faith. When the Constitution was written, there was a separation of church and state. What is this lunatic talking about? You know,
he had to throw that in there. I mean, that has to be, you know, God fearing, you know, person of incredible faith. Like all Nebraska, you want to make a bet about all Nebraskans, really? You know,
Or most Nebraskans.
You know, kill us. Why do you have to bring that into this? And less government and fiscal accountability? Where? Where is less government? They're into everything. They're into women's rights. They're into what they can wear. Where are they into less government? That's a lie. That's a sham. They are not. They're into everything.
Exactly. Burning books and all, banning books and all that stuff. It's it's really getting scary. It's the 1920s all over again. They're against unions. They're against, you name it, they're against it.
And they're talking about fiscal accountability. There wasn't fiscal accountability when Donald Trump ran up the federal deficit. Was there? No. When George W. Bush with this war in Iraq going after Saddam Hussein, you know. So there was 100 people who applied for the job to replace Sasse, and 9 were interviewed, you know. And Ricketts thanked the governor, Pillen, saying that he was proud to support his campaign. And he also thanked Sasse for his service. Ricketts then said he wanted to make the federal government run like a business. So there you go again, run like a business. The country is not like a business, you know.
No.
And it's like I never learn, you know.
No.
You know, a country is not a business.
No.
You know, that's why Donald Trump
like
fucked
Trump
it up
ran
so badly.
His businesses. How many bankruptcies?
And according to New Senator Ricketts, the former governor, quote, we need to make Washington, D.C. accountable and ensure that they are bringing the highest level of service we did here in Nebraska. So he's praising himself for when he was governor and did a good job and what have you. Yeah, okay, fuck you, Ricketts. Senate Majority Minority Leader Mitch McConnell welcomed the news in a statement Thursday saying that he's thrilled to hear that former Governor Ricketts is heading to the U.S. Senate and looks forward to working with him closely, you know. So Ricketts, you must remember, is a MAGA Republican. Governor Philbin could not have found a more capable leader to take the baton from our colleague Senator Sasse and fight for the Cornhusker state, McConnell said. And in Ricketts has a proven record that, quote, pairs sharp business savvy with a deep commitment to public service. You know, which is harsh shit, really. Just harsh shit. Ricketts, who reached his term limit as Pillen's predecessor, stated his intention last month to seek the appointment to succeed Sasse. Quote, for me, it came down to a single question. How can I best serve the people of Nebraska and advance our conservative values? Ricketts said in a statement announcing his bid, in Congress, we're in a fight for the future of our nation, and it's a fight we have to win. Ricketts' top political ally of Pillen, Ricketts had endorsed Pillen to succeed him and was a favorite to replace Sasse. In farewell remarks last week, former Senator Sasse criticized the Senate, which he had been a member of since 2015, saying, quote, this institution doesn't work very well right now. Why? Because Republicans don't get their own way 99.99% of the times. That's why you think former Senator Sasse said no work. You know, go to the University of Florida and good riddance to bad rubbish.
Yeah.
You know, you're a failure as a governor, you're a failure as a senator, so fuck you. That's my two cents. You know, it's like a whole, it's like this boys club, really, you know, in Nebraska.
Yep.
You know, political patronage. But I digress. I don't want to bore people to death.
Well, that's okay. There, a little bit of good news. State Democrats just flipped the first seat, our first seat of 2023, Aaron Rouse of Virginia in SD07. So the victory will send another strong leader to the Virginia Senate, one of our top targets this year. We're less than 2 weeks into the new year, and Democrats are already notched our first victory. But there's a little time, there's little time to celebrate, you know, because in the upcoming weeks, there's going to be more special elections. Pennsylvania will hold our narrow chamber margins, and in New Hampshire, we could flip control of the New Hampshire House for Democrats through the special election this year. So, I mean, that's a good thing. You know, so that's a couple, a couple more Democrats. That's good. You know, we need all that we can get.
Exactly.
And so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, so Trump made, oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's okay.
You guys, I have to sign out. I got to tuck somebody in for bed, way past her bedtime.
Oh. Oh, yeah,
so
no
problem.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling, Susie.
Okay,
yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Yeah, ma'am. That was Susie from Michigan, the great state of Michigan. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say, you know, we were talking before, you know, about when the new House Republicans came in. And we have to remember this, because last month when the Democrats were in, they passed a federal spending bill, which included funding for border security and hiring more agents, you know. And then 85% of the Republicans at that time in Congress voted against it. So are they really for the borders? I mean, what, you know, are they really concerned about the border? Do they really take it seriously, you know? No, they don't.
No.
You know, it's just
no.
It's just lip service. It's all it is. They could care less about people at the border. They don't care about those people at the border. They don't care what happens to them. They don't care why they're here. they just don't care. And if 85% of them voted against, you know, the funding for border security and hiring of more agents, that tells you right there that they're full of crap. Full of crap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that we'll hire more agents in IRS because who knows what the bodies in the corporation is doing as far as not paying taxes, you know, and they themselves who serve in Congress, you know, they may have offshore bank accounts in Cayman, Switzerland, you know, which they probably already have, according to WikiLeaks, if you were to believe all that. And that's why I don't want Julian Assange to spend prison, his remainder of his life in prison, because WikiLeaks exposed dirty, corrupt politicians, not only in America, but around the world, and they're really, really pissed off about that and angry. You know, so good shot, Julian Assange, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope more documents will be coming out to expose these corrupt politicians, whether Democrat, Republican, whoever, because America deserves better than, you know, what we're getting now. And that's why a lot of people not voting, and there's more, you know, independent voters compared to Democrats and Republicans, because if people are in a scam, they're like, oh, no, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, depending on who you identify with, you know, is like basically two wings on the same bird. But that's a different show, and it's complicated to explain in one or two sentences. Yeah. Next thing up, House Republicans are fired up that Jim Jordan, you know, Jim Jordan, it's going to be ugly in terms of, you know, him, you know, going after Democrats and everything. You know, and so the House Republicans are firing up the Jim Jordan show because it's going to get ugly. And according to Daily Kos, there's this article that the House Republicans are preparing their priorities for governing, personal attacks and efforts to dismantle the government with sidelines and anti-abortion extremism, ruining the economy to make Joe Biden look bad, and demonizing migrants. Demonizing migrants. What has migrants done to Republicans? Americans don't want certain jobs. Some migrants come in and do menial jobs like pick fruit, you know, clean hotel rooms and what have you. You know, they're not stealing American jobs, good American jobs. Come on, no. Americans wouldn't take these jobs because they think it's below them. But go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, David. I agree 100%. And you know, and for some reason, you know, they complain about the border. They complain about, you know, these migrants coming in. They and you're right. They will do jobs like in hotels and, you know, things like that, you know, in small, small restaurants. A lot of them will cook, you know, busing tables, you know. They're everywhere you go, there's help wanted. And, you know, people don't want those kind of jobs. They just don't. And so what would be wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. And it would just bring life to an unhuman being. I mean, I just don't, I don't see it the way they see it, you know?
And instead of using the taxpayer money to try to build a wall, why not put those money in different things that America needs, like, you know, well, infrastructure is good, which the bill passed and signed by Joe Biden today. You know, instead of putting efforts to build a wall, why not build bridges? Because America was made up of immigrants who fight hard to reach where they reach. It was immigrants, when they come here willfully or through slavery, built America. It wasn't all on white people that built America. It was like the Jews, it was the Italians, it was Germans, it was Jamaicans, it was Jewish, whomever. We're the Chinese, the Asians, the Indians, the Pakistanis. We're more than a melting pot. We're now an ethnic salad. And according to Labor Board, by 2045, America will be like a majority minority country. So what will they do when that hit? you know, when America is not an all-majority white person country. They will lose a shit. They had probably explored. So we need to come together in this country and build and move forward and unite. You get what I'm saying? This divide and conquer thing by the Republican Party, Americans looking through it and say, boy, okay, we elect you, or through gerrymandering you got elected. What are you going to do for the American people? There's no agenda by Republicans. Their agenda is to go after Democrats and not legislate to move America forward. And it's going to backfire by 2024. Just watch. Just watch. The chickens may come home to roost.
Yes, I agree. And I'm going to go back to something that we talked about in the beginning, and I just want to get your take on. We were talking about, you know, these classified documents that have all of a sudden, you know, surfaced November, and that college said it was It was not. It was in November. Actually, it was the middle of November. And I just find it
convenient.
So ironic and convenient and almost to the point where I want to say that these classified documents were planted. I mean, how could Joe Biden have a document in his garage, supposedly in his Corvette, and not know it's there? I mean, in his I mean, it's just so convenient, and the timing is so perfect to the fact that the House Republicans just came in, and here all of a sudden this explosion comes up, you know, and here we have Jack Smith on Trump, and all of a sudden, you know, all the eyes are taken off of that because, oh my gosh, we have a shiny new story to look at here and dig in. And I hope the special counsel that was appointed by Merrick Garland, I hope that he looks at this. The document. And I hope that he does not go farther and dig up other crap that's going to take time. And I don't know if there's other crap. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, they can always find something somewhere, maybe. But I just want this long, drawn out saga because it sounds too convenient. It sounds very fishy.
Yeah, and according to Lauren Boebert, for example, you know, the Biden administration has weaponized the federal government. She's the one to talk because she barely won her re-election campaign. She won by 500 votes. So she just needs to shut up and go in a corner and know her role and shut her mouth. In the last 20 minutes of the show and everything, we'll have one more caller. We'll take that call soon. Okay. But remember, folks, when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. We're glad that you call and share across social media. Remember to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. The number again, if you decide to call in, is 515-605-9802. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Excellent.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Eric. How are you?
Great. Glad to finally be here, finally make it here.
Yes, finally. Nice to have you on.
I had a chance. I got off work earlier tonight, so I figured I just made it.
Oh, good. Well, we're on
Yes,
I want to get your take on what's going on now with these classified documents and the president.
Well,
what
you know
what?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you this. I haven't followed up too much with that, but based on what some other people have told me and based on the very little I have seen, I don't think that, at least I would like to believe, that it's not quite as serious as people are making it out to be. Obviously, there were a lot less documents found in that space than there were around the last guy. I think that what happened was they had the documents stored in a place, and it was there when I think when Obama and Biden had left the office in 2017, and And here's one thing that I can put out to the public, just so we know that this is not one-sided or that this is partisan. It was my understanding that the Biden administration had appointed a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney to investigate the case or to look into it. So Biden had contacted the archives and he said, okay, we'll turn this over. You guys can review and look at it. So the thing about it is he cooperated with it. And I think we all know that Kevin McCarthy and the House Republicans are probably going to waste their time investigating it. And I really don't think that they're going to get much more out of this than they tried to get out of Bill and Hillary Clinton with the email stuff. So I personally think that it might be a waste of time. It's just something for the Republicans to complain about. I hope nothing really serious comes out of it. But that's the extent of what I know about it. That's how I feel about it.
So, Eric, do you think they'll try to use this as leverage to try and impeach Joe Biden, saying that, oh, okay, you know, you claim, or it's not even clear, it's fact, that Donald Trump stole these classified documents and refused to give them back. So do you think that, one, if they don't make a deal with Trump to keep him out of prison, that they'll use this against Joe Biden to impeach him?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what I think. I'll tell you something about that. What I think about that is this. So we already know that there were a number of Republicans in the House, which were mainly Trump Republicans, who basically pledged to, or at least they were touting, that if they had won the House in 2022, that they were going to work to impeach Joe Biden. But the problem is they don't have there's no impeachable offense really that I can think of that he's done. So they don't really have a solid case. And so you couldn't even when they impeached Bill Clinton, yeah, they at least had a reason for it. But even then, they couldn't get every single Republican on board. You know, when they tried to, you know, I think of it as it's, the Republicans just barely have the House. They only have a handful of seats to get that slight majority. So they're probably not going to have enough people on board with it. My theory and my prediction is that the attempted impeachment, it's not going to be successful. We know it's not going to go through the Senate. They really have no case against him. There's nothing that they could say. I mean, whatever case they tried to use against him before as far as inflation or gas prices, well, a lot of that stuff has been lowered now, and his approval rating is increasing as we speak. So, you know, yeah, they're going to try to impeach him, but it's going to go nowhere.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
And to respond to another thing that you said about the deal about keeping Trump out of prison, that may or may not be a separate issue because, first, we still have to see if he's even going to be charged on anything. Kevin McCarthy is trying to toe the line between pro-Trump and anti-Trump, which we know he is pro-Trump. He just isn't quite as loud-mouthed as a Lauren Boebert, but I can tell you right now, so that's what the Republicans are attempting to do now.
Well, you know, Eric, he did thank Trump the night that he got was elected Speaker. He did thank Trump and tell him without him, you know, this wouldn't have happened. So he did kiss his ring that night. That made me sick. You know.
Well, and you know really what? That comes as no surprise to me at all because, like I said, he is the guy who it's like he tries to support Trump, but when he thinks that he can disagree with Trump on something and he tries to even slightly disagree, he just does exactly what Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, and Lindsey Graham did, which was, okay, we're just going to go back to kissing the ring and because I want to stay on this guy's good side because, you know, I don't know what there is something to be said about the idea that there's a lot of people in government that have a lot of dirt on each other. And, you know, my thing is, they say that Trump has a lot of dirt on some of these people, but the only reason why I have a hard time believing that is because we know that Trump is an egotistical, narcissistic loudmouth who can't shut up. So if there really was dirt on some of them, he probably would have exposed it by now. So a lot of these to me might be political theater. I don't know why they're scared of him, and that's something that still baffles me to this day. But I do know that a majority of the Republicans in our government, if not every last one of them, I mean, a lot of these people just have basically cowered it to Trump, and it's utterly pathetic.
Do you think
yes, it
that
is.
It has
yes,
anything
it is.
To do with Putin? Do you think
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
Well, you know, you were saying, you know, that these Republicans, you don't understand why they you know, he maybe has secrets on him, on them, but he has not, you know, really said anything. But do you think maybe Putin has something to do with this, with his ties with Putin, you know, Trump's ties with Putin? Do you think maybe Putin has threatened some of these, and some, you know, some of these representatives in some way?
Well, you know what? I understand why people would think that that's possible. I don't know that Putin himself has any dirt on a lot of the Republicans here. Now, I don't have exact proof of that, but I will tell you, even though there still might be certain parts in the connection between Trump and Putin, which some of it is proven, mm-hmm. some isn't, but I think mm-hmm. that because we know that the Trump family does have financial dealings with Russian banks, mm-hmm. and we know that we saw an attempt to collude with the Russian government by Trump Jr., I think mm-hmm. it has a lot more to do with something between I don't know the connection exactly between Putin and the Republicans beside Trump. I still think that there's something on Trump that Putin has that if it gets released, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a done deal. And I think that Trump probably slipped up and told some Republicans something. There's definitely mm-hmm. a connection going on somewhere. I can't exactly put my finger on it.
Yeah, there is. You know, and that's funny because you said that because there is something. I mean, there is an underlying – there's an underlying cause, and I would love to know what it is because there is a connection somewhere, somehow, that, you know, this orange monster can still have influence over who's going to be Speaker of the House, you know, in 2023. So it just is upsetting to me, you know, and then
I will say this is that, you know, and this is something that I've seen, especially since 2016, is that especially when it comes to the voters, people will often they'll lie about who they vote for and support. And the same thing goes with representatives in our government. And I think what it is we have a lot more Trump-supporting Republicans in this government than we may realize. The difference mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. some of them are quiet about it. Others are loud about it. And so I think that a lot of these Republicans probably – they don't care whether or not he is the president, and I do think a lot of them do prefer somebody like a Ron DeSantis because he is a lot younger and because he at least knows how to shut up sometimes. But mm-hmm. I think that if Trump were to be the nominee again or if he were to, in any hypothetical situation, be president again, I think that a number of them would basically have no problem getting behind him even if they don't think that he's the best guy. And so I think that, you know, because that kind of thing exists on our side, too, depending on who our candidates are. You know, we stick behind mm-hmm. our nominee. They're going to stick behind theirs. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that has a lot to do with it, too. But I don't think that a vast majority of the Republicans in the government are going to be mm-hmm. as Trump excited like a Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Greene, who absolutely love the guy. I think the others either don't like him or they might like him a little bit. But besides that, I mean, it's really hard to tell with every single one of them because we have so many people in government. So, I mean, I think that's kind of where it's at. So, I mean, he does kind of have a little more influence in a way that people realize. But I say that whoever that Republican nominee is for president, we just have to go against them and turn out in mass numbers and vote against them at all costs.
Mm-hmm. All right, but Eric, do you think?
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Laura. Oh, okay.
No, it's okay.
Eric, do you think, Eric, that if Trump, the orange vomit, don't get a Republican nomination 2024, well, hopefully he'll be in prison by then. Do you think that he'll run as a third party candidate and split the Republican vote? I'm hoping for that.
You know what? I was actually watching a podcaster who was talking about something like that. And I'll tell you this,
mm-hmm.
My theory is that if he does not get the nomination, which it looks like he may mm-hmm. not, I think there's a half mm-hmm. and half chance he may go as a third party. But then we also have mm-hmm. to remember this. And here's something that a lot more Republicans realize than what we realize, is that when mm-hmm. we have people running third party on our side, you know, the tickets will split. Mm-hmm. And that's we saw that in 2016. You know, mm-hmm. you had those third party candidates like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein that a lot of mm-hmm. people who did not vote for either Hillary or Trump had went to them. And so I think Republicans and Democrats alike realize that. And so with Trump, for as stupid as he may be, I don't know mm-hmm. if he wants to risk splitting that much because right now Ron DeSantis is kind of beating Trump in most Republican polls. And so I think he mm-hmm. knows that if he were to do that, and he, let's say he were to split the ticket and Joe Biden gets reelected, a lot of his supporters would probably turn on him, and then they'll say, well, you're the reason why Biden stayed here. And they might get mad at him because they felt that he might not have fought hard enough because he thought the last election was stolen. There's really any type of way that could turn out. And I'll tell you right now, if he does run third party, that might be like one good thing that he's doing for the Democrats because that helps us. But if he doesn't run third party, let's say he loses the nomination and he doesn't run third party, I have no clue what he's going to do. I don't know if he's going to get ticked off and tell people to not vote for DeSantis, or if he's just going to – he might just put it aside and just say, yeah, vote for DeSantis because we don't want communist Biden. So that there's really no telling what could happen at that point.
David and Eric, do you think that Joe Biden is going to run? He's not said yes, and he's not said no. When Joe Biden was asked, he said that they were going to discuss it over the holidays. So what do you guys think? Do you think that he's going to run?
You know what? I'll tell you, I'll be perfectly honest with you. Yes, I think he's going to run again, and yes, I'm going to support him again. And the reason why I believe he is running again is because there were two major articles that I had seen. The first one, and I didn't get a chance to go through the whole thing, but I saw the basics. The first article that came out, I think, in December, that said that his wife, Jill Biden, was talking to some, I don't know if it was a foreign leader or if it was just somebody who was a high up in this country that basically said that, yeah, we're preparing to, you know, we're considering looking at the reelection campaign, blah, blah, blah. And then there was an article that just came out this past weekend that stated that top Democratic officials were rallying to coalesce around a 2024 Biden campaign. So I think it's more than likely he is going to run again, and I'm ready to support him again because I think that he has done a good job. You know, if I had to grade him, I'd give him at least a B minus because of he's had a lot more accomplishments than people realize, and he's actually gone more to the left on certain things that I thought he would go. Everything that we got from him between the American Rescue Plan, the COVID relief package, the bipartisan gun safety bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, the capping insulin at $35 a month, the pushing to cancel the $20,000 of student debt. You know, between all those things and continuing to invest money into small businesses to expand the money for the Paycheck Protection Program, the Small Business Administration, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. I said, this guy, so there's a number of accomplishments that have helped a number of people, the child tax credit. So I think that with those things right there in play, that, you know, I feel that if we continue, if we reelect him, and even if he steps down and Kamala's the president, I'll support that too, because then we can continue to press her and her administration on continuing to expand those things and to expand Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. It's so funny that people say that he hasn't done anything. People have said, tell me one good thing he's done. Well, I did a video the other day giving you 40 different things that he's done. So I put that out there. And so I've let people know, like, hey, yeah, I support Joe Biden, and I'm ready to promote him for reelection.
You know, the thing is that Joe Biden is not someone that brags about things. He's, you know, kind of a laid-back personality. He does, you know, he does say what's on his mind at times, and he just does his job. I wish the media would pick up and – instead of today all day long talking about these, you know, these documents, you know, these documents that, you know, you could tell that he really didn't have a clue about them. You know, he was surprised. He didn't even really know what to say. They asked him about his, you know, locked garage and all this stuff. Ask him about, you know, things that he's accomplished. You know, our news media needs to talk more about that. Don't you think, David, as well?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, they're giving Trump more and more airtime, free airtime. Well, you know, compared to 2016, not so much, thank goodness, because the free publicity that Trump got in 2016 made him won that election. One of the reasons, he didn't win the popular vote. The Electoral College vote is something that should be removed totally. It's a racist, archaic system. We don't need it in the 21st century America. You know, and to answer your first question, will I support Joe Biden if he runs for re-election?
Yeah.
Yes. Reason being, as Eric,
mm-hmm.
you know, pointed out, all those successes he had and signing the law,
mm-hmm.
the PPP plan,
mm-hmm.
The infrastructure plan, and what have you.
Yeah.
It
yep.
just goes on and on. He has a good
yeah.
record of getting things done. As the first president of the United States that,
yeah.
during his first term in a midterm election,
mm-hmm.
never lose any seats and actually gain seats. You know, so
exactly.
that's a good thing. You know,
absolutely.
And we should support Biden 100% because when you ask
yeah.
Republicans, what are your proposals, what are your plans to move America forward? Investigate. It's a revenge thing. It's not really putting the country forward. You're not putting the country first. And the insurrectionists,
yeah.
they gave power to Kevin McCarthy. And the whole shit show will blow up in the face come 2024. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Well,
so.
You know what? Here's another thing I want to slip in there right quick, too. It's with all those accomplishments, and I also want the viewers and the listeners to understand this, too, is that a lot of people think that he hasn't done well on foreign policy. He's actually done better on foreign policy than I would say the last three or four presidents. I mean, he is slowing down the drone strike war by a lot. He's also he's aided Ukraine. Now, some people could argue that we've given him too much money, but, I mean, hey, we gave him something that helped him out. He also put a pause on the United States-Saudi Arabia weapons deal. And so he paused
mm-hmm.
with what we were doing with the genocide in Yemen, which I thought was a big deal. He also
mm-hmm.
put us back in the Paris Climate Agreement. He put us back in the World
yeah.
Health
mm-hmm.
Organization. He's in the process of contemplating if we're going to close Guantanamo Bay or if we're going to go back to the Iran
mm-hmm.
nuclear deal. So I said these
mm-hmm.
things are huge wins right here. And, you know, Senator Chuck Schumer had
mm-hmm.
called to end the Iraq war resolution, and I think if they do that, that's another big one. So there are so
yeah.
many
mm-hmm.
different potentials, both actual and potential successes that we are getting
yeah.
out of this presidency, and some of the likes which I haven't seen, and I'll tell you that, like I said, if we continue to push him that way, like I said, he's got a lot more success going on than people realize, and I hope people
yeah.
hear this,
mm-hmm.
and the more people hear this, hopefully they'll be encouraged to
yeah.
get to the polls to vote for him when Election Day comes.
Yeah. And I would support President Biden as well, absolutely, 100%. And, yes, I think his policies, you know, need to be exasperated. We need to talk about them more, you know, that sort of thing. Tell us a little
yeah,
bit
absolutely.
About
and that's exactly why I do my show the way I do it, too, because I keep people posted on the candidates running, the people who what legislation is passed or
mm-hmm.
Executive orders. You know, I talk about the Inflation Reduction Act. I talked about the American Rescue Plan. He also
yeah.
signed a thing called the PACT Act, which was a piece of
yeah.
legislation that allowed veterans to get health care,
yeah.
you know, which is another thing that,
yeah.
like I said, Democrats passed and Biden signed it. So all that
yeah.
stuff happened. You know, I do videos talking about it to shine
yeah.
a light on it.
Now, Eric, tell us a little bit about your YouTube channel.
Yes, so the people that are listening, yeah, so the name is Eric Brantley. For those of you that decide to look it up, it's E-R-I-K, last name Brantley, B-R-A-N-T-L-E-Y. It's just, you go to YouTube, it's just my name, and
mm-hmm.
I started doing these type of videos in 2016 because that's the election that got me involved, and
mm-hmm.
I'll admit, at first I was a little bit inconsistent as far as how many videos I was doing, but ever since last year, I really started getting them up again. And about my YouTube
mm-hmm.
channel, I mostly talk about politics where I promote Democratic
mm-hmm.
figures. I've talked to
mm-hmm.
Democratic candidates, officials, activists, organizers, journalists. That's one of the things that I'm going to school for is economics, political science, and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done live video streams on Facebook where I've talked with many Democratic representatives and candidates across the country. I've reached out so far in about 15 to 20 other states. To those of you that might be listening in another state, I'm in the state of Michigan. And so I use my channel to talk about those things. And what I've done to expand my topic base and to grow more subscribers is I've also started talking about other things just to have a little bit of a variety and a range. You know, I also talk about TV shows, movies, games, celebrity stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just keep the public posted with some new stuff and then also give my
yeah.
take on what's going on. So I just kind of
yeah.
do like a variety show type thing. And so if anybody's interested, Feel free to subscribe. And to those of you that have contact with Lori, to those of you who have contact with Lori, she has my Facebook page, my number, and my email address. Feel free to get it from her if you can't find me directly. So, my stuff is public, so anybody can reach out to me. Anybody can follow me, subscribe me, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
That's awesome, Eric. Very good. I'm so happy that you called in tonight. You and I have had many conversations, and I'm usually the hothead, and you usually kind of calm me down a little bit. So,
like I said, we have so much division in our party as it is, and it's funny because I had put up a post about somebody who was running in another state. I had people discussing and debating and arguing that, and I came in and I said, listen, I like both candidates, and I got to tell you right now, I said, we're the party that, listen, we may not be perfect, but the other party is completely nuts. And I'll tell you I try to follow in the footsteps of President Jimmy Carter, and some people have regarded me as a peacemaker. And I said, well, let me try to work my peace magic with this one, because at the end of the day, we're to stand behind our people, because we are, as Hillary Clinton said, stronger together. And, as Barack and Michelle had said, we don't boo, we vote. And as Bernie Sanders said, yes, we can. So I take all those quotes and I just run with that. So I try to do the best that I can.
You do. You do, Eric. It's so glad. I'm so happy that you come tonight and that you found the time, because I know your work schedule. So I want you to take care of yourself, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Yes, everybody have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. That was Eric Brantley from the great state of Michigan, the Wolverine State. We thank him for calling in. We thank Susie for calling.
Mm-hmm.
We thank Pianke in the great state of Louisiana for calling in. We may not agree, but, what for talk and not like. But Pianke, I'll get in touch with you. What for talk, man. And for your daughter going to Jamaica, don't go to Mobay, go to Kingston and other places, some good places in Jamaica. All right, so thank you for listening and sharing across social media. Remember, you can go on to facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Subscribe, talk about things that we post and everything. Oh, we have one more caller. We have 2 minutes left. Get this call in quick. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? Okay, the person hung up. We have 2 minutes. All right, so this has been Kitchen Politics 123. For January 12th, 2023, the topic, Season 4, Episode 4, the Republican House of Cards. They're going to get implored by 2024, hopefully. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Monday, same time, same place. Till next time, I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. Everyone have a good evening, and stay safe, and we'll talk to you all on Monday. Bye now. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight. Join us again next Monday, same time, same place on Block Talk Radio for another edition of Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3 with me, David Franklin, and Laura Pickard. Good night and good luck.